26. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Now Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And now let us look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a creature of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you have given us an account of ancient history, because man know nothing about it. We are thankful that thou hast told us the moral interpretation of the history of man. We are thankful that you have been present not only in heaven, but upon earth from the beginning, and you have lessons to teach to the children of men. Our Father, how miserably man failed in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, and there are days yet to come, the days of the Son of Man. And so, our Father, since there is time for us, we pray that we shall apply our hearts to wisdom and get us a heart of wisdom. And from the portions that we have read, that we shall understand them as you would have us to understand them, and act as Noah acted when these things came to his attention. We desire to be blessed this morning and to have souls delivered from hell, as in the days of Noah, souls could be delivered from drowning. Work upon the hearts of all who are here, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you find it hard to believe that in the past, God sent a flood upon the earth and destroyed all men except Noah and his family? Noah found it hard to believe too. And do you find it hard to believe that in the days of Lot, God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? Well, Lot's sons-in-law found it difficult to believe as well. And do you find it difficult to believe that concerning the future, that the Lord Jesus died, was raised from the dead and is coming back again in the glory of his Father with all the holy angels? Well, so did the disciples. And so this morning, when the Word of God is read, and you say, I wonder if that is possible, do not think that you are an exception. You are the rule. That's the reason I read to you, not only from the account in the Gospel of Luke, but from Hebrews and from 2 Peter as well. But had you wanted me to speak on Noah, I could have spoken from a number of scriptures. You'll find that Noah is found in Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then he's found again in 1 Chronicles. He is found again in Isaiah 54, and then he's found again in Ezekiel 14. I could have spoken from any of those portions about Noah. And then in the New Testament, he's found in Matthew 24, in Luke 3, in Luke 17, in Hebrews 11, in 1 Peter 3, and in 2 Peter 2. In all of these places, Noah is mentioned by name. And not only that, but you do not realize it, but Noah also is brought to our attention when in the book of Revelation you see a rainbow. Anytime a rainbow appears in Scripture, it is connected with Noah and the mercy of God and the covenant that God made with all his creatures. Also, there are other references in 2 Peter chapter 3 when it speaks about God bringing a flood upon the world of the ungodly, when he's saying that in the last days, mockers shall come with mockery. So, if even those that experience these things that I've told you about found it difficult to believe, how should I expect you to believe it? And you cannot believe it, and it's impossible to believe the miracles in the Scriptures unless the Spirit of God empowers you to. When the Lord Jesus was speaking on earth, and never man spake like that man, the ones that listened to him murmured and complained about what he said. And when they did, the Savior explained it all to us. He said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him." And so if you think that because of your wisdom and your prudence, you are able to go to the Word of God and figure it all out and say, I can accept this part, but I must reject this part, and I can accept this, but I must reject that, you have vainly congratulated yourself on the ability to do something that is impossible to do unless the Spirit of God empowers you. And I bring all of these things to your attention, and I make you confront them bluntly for the simple reason that they either did or did not occur, and because of the difficulty of their occurrence, God verifies these historical facts again and again and again. If someone comes along and tells you what he believes is true and is not true about the history of man, that is one thing, accept it or reject it. But if God's Son, who came from heaven, and he said, my Father has given me the words that I should speak and all the acts that I should perform, when the Lord Jesus speaks those words, it is a different matter. And that is why I laugh at all of those who listen to authority today, the professors, the doctors of divinity, all of them explaining away the Word of God. And then I think, here is Matthew, here is John, who lived with the Lord Jesus for over 3 years, saw, experienced everything that they wrote about, and these people, 2,000 years removed, say, that's wrong, that's wrong. They know nothing about the Lord Jesus. And we have those that live with him, eyewitnesses, and so they tell me something. And whom am I going to believe? those today so far removed who have no spiritual capacity, no heart to seek after God, or those men that were fellow disciples of the Lord Jesus for so long. You see the folly? Now, the greatest is this. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has led him forth. He has displayed him. He has revealed him. And so God's Son comes from heaven, and he considers the scriptures as a whole, and he speaks of Noah to the consternation of those that deny him, and he speaks of Lot, and he also speaks of the day that he's coming back again, in flaming fire, taking judgment on all those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, who do not trust him as Savior. And it's a simple decision for me to make for this reason. Here is the world telling me one thing, and here is the Son of God sent forth from heaven to give me a message, and I'm to either leave the world or the Lord Jesus. The choice is simple. I believe the Lord Jesus, not only because I love him as my Savior, but the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because he confronted his enemies in the days of his flesh, and he said, which of you convicted me of sin? And not one of them spoke. And when they did crucify him, they brought forth false witnesses. And so you have a world of false witnesses telling you what is untrue and is impossible in the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus purposely has selected from the Old Testament those parts that are difficult to receive, and he says, I put my stamp of approval upon them. Listen to what he says. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the Lord Jesus said he was there. Well, I didn't know if I should believe that. The Savior believed it and verified it. And concerning Noah and the flood that came upon the world, and that's a difficult thing to believe. The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And fire and brimstone coming down from heaven, the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. And so everything that man is inclined to disbelieve, the Lord Jesus emphasizes it again and says, I believe it, and I'm telling you to believe it. But if you can prove it wrong, then you will be in an area of safety for this reason. Because if there were no days of Noah, then there are going to be no days of the Son of Man. And if there were no days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, there are going to be no days of the Son of Man. But if there were days of Noah and days of Lot, then there are going to be days of the Son of Man. And you're in serious trouble, because I told you how difficult it was for even Noah to believe these things, for the simple reason that if you read the book of Genesis, you will wonder if it had ever rained. If it had rained, it had been of a nature that was unimportant, nothing to worry about. But then suddenly, God tells Noah that the earth is going to be flooded, and he has to build this enormous ark in which to enter and escape the deluge that's coming upon the earth. And Noah did not believe it of himself. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, whereby he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. You see? Noah was unable to believe it by seeing it. Seeing is believing. Noah never saw it. Noah never heard of such a thing or conceived of such a thing. But it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared in awe, moved with godly fear. And that's the only thing that sinners can do today. If you ask me, have you ever seen God? No, and neither have you. And neither is anyone else except men like Moses and Isaiah. men of that stature have seen God, conversed with God, and they have recorded for us the experiences that they had. And the only thing that I can do is by faith to believe what Moses told me, God told him, and what Isaiah told him, God told him, and what the Lord Jesus said, I learned from my Father. He said, I speak, I do always those things that were told me by my Father. And so the only way to be saved, to be prepared today for the wrath of God that is coming, is to, by faith, accept the truth for this reason. In the days of Noah, only faith enabled him to believe it and do something about it. And nobody else in the whole world other than his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife believed it and entered into the ark. Think of the proportion. The whole world at that time, and eight people believed it and went into the ark. And it says, faith caused Noah to build and to go in. And this, concerning that time, when the ark was to be built, the Lord told him, when he was 480 years old, and that also must be accepted by faith, when he was 480 years old, God told him that there was going to be a flood upon the earth, that the end of all flesh has come before me. And he said, now, I want you to build an ark. And I read to you from 2 Peter that at that time, Noah became a preacher of righteousness. And there are some boards that send missionaries out, and if after a few months or a year, a report is sent back, and the question is asked, how many converts do you have? And if after 1 year or 2 years or 7 years, they put a big zero, the board says, come home. And here is Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and he preaches for 120 years. And God says, now give me the report. How many have been saved? And Noah puts down eight. So eight souls in 120 years, that's rather a small proportion. But understand this, it is of no concern to God. Because some people, if they think that only a few trust the Savior from their preaching, how discouraged they are. And our little time on earth that we spend preaching, how insignificant it is. And so Noah preaches 120 years, and he looks over his work at that time. He's 600 years old, and he looks over his life's work, and all he can see is his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And these are the only ones that Noah, by his preaching, has been able to convert. Now, you would think that God would say, Noah, you have failed, and because of that, I cannot bring a flood upon the earth. There are not enough of you left to start a new world. But that is of no consequence to God. When God was angry with the nation of Israel in the wilderness, he said to Moses, he said, let me alone and let my wrath burn against this nation, and I will destroy them, and I will build of you a greater nation than they. And so God is not concerned if one or eight or how many believe his word. God's will is going to be accomplished. And the only way that you can enter into God's will and find safety is by faith. It's the only way. And listen to this. This is so interesting. Usually, we say the first man justified by faith that was declared righteous by faith was Abraham. Well, that's in Genesis chapter 15. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. But if you put the words together in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Noah moved, and it said, he became heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. And so here is righteousness by faith, justification by faith, how great, how much it meant. But Noah appears before Abraham. How remarkable. And all of it, the life that Noah lived, the preaching that Noah preached, it was all according to faith. Why? Because Noah had never seen a flood. Noah had never built an ark. But he preached by faith. And what I'm telling you this morning is all by faith. I've never seen the Lord Jesus. I never saw him die on the cross. But I'm telling you that he bore your sins in his own body upon the tree. And I'm telling you that he died and rose again. And he's coming again to judge the world in righteousness. And all of that I tell you by faith. But what Noah worked upon and acted upon by faith when he was 600 years old and the floods descended from heaven, then it was no longer faith. It was a reality. And in like manner, when Lot was telling his sons-in-law that God is going to destroy these cities, it had to be by faith. Who ever heard of fire and brimstone coming down from heaven? And they didn't believe it. But when the fire fell, they believed. And so what the Savior has done is this. He said, in the past they did not believe, but their unbelief did not prevent God's judgment from coming to pass. It is the same with Noah, and it's the same with Lot. And understand this. If you look at me and say, why, the people that believe the way you do are so few, it's of no significance. The paucity of the number is of insignificance. The whole world says that you are wrong. And the whole world said that Noah was wrong. But the whole world perished. And that's what you have to understand. Because if God speaks the word, if it seems impossible, you accept it and you act upon it by faith. Now, the Bible speaks of mockers. Speaks of mockers who hear preaching that the end of the world is coming and God is going to destroy the world by fire. They have their arguments ready for you. They say, why? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But what Peter does is to bring forth illustrations that things have changed during the history of the world. And he says, one of them is the flood. But they never believed it. But some things have changed. And it says, in the last days, mockery shall come with mockery. And so I tell you that the Savior is coming. People have been saying it for 2,000 years, and he's not here yet. Now, think. Here is Noah, when he's 480 years old, and he starts preaching righteousness, and he goes on for 120 years. And think of him, the first year. Noah, when is this flood going to come? And then 5 years later, 10 years later, 50 years later, and here's that old fool preaching righteousness and building this boat, and they wait and wait and wait, 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, 120 years. That old fool is still preaching and building. But one day, there is no noise made by Noah and his sons continuing to build the ark, because the ark has been completed. And there's no more listening to the preaching of Noah, because 7 days before the flood came, Noah goes into the ark, and it says, God shut the door. And then there is a week of ominous silence of that old fool building the ark, and that old fool preaching righteousness. And then after the 7 days, God opened the heavens and tore up the depths and fountains underneath the earth, and the flood came. And then who was an old fool? The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. And it says all the mockers in a coming day as well as in a past day. Noah, where is that flood you were talking about? How are you going to get this boat to float? Where is all this water you were talking about? But after so long a wait, the flood did come. And then, the sad thing is that those that were outside the ark wanted to get into the ark, but there was no getting in. And this is what I'm telling you. You think that in all of your cleverness, you will wait until the last, and just at the last, you see, well, if this thing is conceivably true, just before Jesus comes, I will believe and I will be safe. How do you know when Jesus is going to come? How do you know he will give you any time? You see, the door is shut, and there are 7 days when they can hear no preaching, and when they cannot get into the ark. Noah could not let them in the ark. And it says in the coming day, the same thing is going to happen with men when the door is shut. And so there is a time period when men may be saved. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And as long as that door is open, you may come and be saved. There was a place of safety in the ark. But once that door is shut, just as in the coming day, the Savior says, some are going to knock and try to get in. And the Lord is going to say to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so you do not get saved when you want to. You're not going to live your life of sin and self-will, and at the very last say, well, now that I've lived out my life and I'm no longer to indulge in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, now, Jesus, here I am. Accept me. When the door is shut, the opportunity is gone. And it doesn't make any difference if there are 10 people outside the ark or the population of the earth outside the ark. The flood comes. And only those that are on the inside are in a place of safety. A question is asked in Luke's gospel, Lord, are there many that are saved? And our Savior said, no, there are many that are lost. Are there few saved? Are there many saved? And are there few saved? Our Savior says, there are many lost. And so, the fact that men do not believe the truth, of those, even like the Lord Jesus who speak the truth, is no great surprise for this reason. When our Savior was on earth, and he had performed his greatest miracles, and men did not repent, he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He said, it shall be more tolerable for you than for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. And so here is the Savior. And he preached the way no man ever preached. And he performed miracles the way no man ever performed miracles. And they did not repent. And there was only one thing the Savior had to say, woe unto thee. And those who have had abundance of opportunity are going to be more severely judged than the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we get that name sodomy from those cities. And the Savior said it is going to be more tolerable for them than for you in that day of judgment. And so understand that God, when he looks upon sin, his attribute of righteousness, his attribute of the judge of all the earth doing right must be exercised, whether it's against angels. Think now. At one time, there was no sin in God's universe. And suddenly, in the heart of Satan and his angelic beings, sin appeared. And God cast them down to hell. And so no matter how exalted you are, no matter how near you've been in the past, when sin comes, God judges that sin. And in like manner, you say, well, there's safety in numbers. If you are with the whole world and only 8 in the entire world believe, you're not safe in numbers. God is going to judge the entire world and save those 8. And in like manner, when it came to Lot, only he and his wife and his 2 daughters were able to come out of the city. And even Lot's wife, whose heart was still in that city, turned back, and she became a pillar. So, I tell you that God is merciless when his day of grace is exhausted, and when the period that he says is your day of grace is ended, then the flood is going to come, and the fire is going to come. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it, whether you mock. The sad thing is this, all those mockers, as I told you the other week, all those mockers, all of those who disregarded these truths, suddenly realize that they are true in hell. It said the rich man who fared sumptuously, dressed beautifully every day, lived his life for himself, it said he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So he lived his own life, disregarded God, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. Now, listen to this. There were two classes of people in the days of Noah. It speaks about those who, and our Savior says this, he does not mention the sins in Matthew 24 or Luke 17, but it says, as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Tell me anything that's wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. Tell me anything that's wrong. You say, there isn't. Why, God is the one that ordained marriage. And God is the one who made food and said to man, anything you want to eat in the garden, it's yours. But what happens is this. Their whole life is occupied with eating food and marriage, you see, which turns out to be lust. And then it speaks also of another class that God looked upon the earth and it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the word corruption, evil, wickedness, those are the words used of others. And so, in the days of Noah, there were those who had no great sins in their lives, but they were just taken up with marriage. And I've wondered about that, but I've seen it even today. Someone is going to get married, and they will go and spend all sorts of money. They will run into debt. They will do everything imaginable to have a moment of glory at a wedding. And then God is shut out. All right to get married, but they were marrying and giving in marriage. Their whole life was occupied with something that shall please me. The bride looking beautiful. The groom being the one that is handsome and able to fulfill in this woman's life that which was empty. And so thinking about the groom and her dress, there's no time for God. And eating and drinking. And this is what the Savior says. Some think about, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we put on? And this is what caused the condemnation of some. Why haven't you listened to Noah as he was preaching? Look, I've got a daughter and she has to be given in marriage. And I have a son and I have to get a suitable bride for that son. Well, what about you? Well, I have to get stores for the winter so that we can make it safely through the winter and have enough to eat. And I have a farm. All of these thoughts, nothing wrong. Until there was so much time spent on eating and drinking and marrying and getting in marriage that God is completely shut out. And understand this. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not if we reject it, but if you neglect it. And if you say, well, Lord, I was so busy having my son married and getting my daughter married. I was so busy about taking care of my health physically. I had to eat the right things. I had to grow the right food. God would say, it is of no consequence. You neglected so great salvation. And God will never be held accountable for the souls that go to hell. Not one of those could come to God and say, listen, you didn't give me long enough time to repent and get into the ark. God said, I gave you 120 years, and you were telling me there wasn't enough time. And how old are you? All your life long, God has given you that much time to trust Christ as Savior. And if in the time that you've lived, you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, and then the judgment of God falls and you say to God, you didn't give me enough time, God will laugh at you. Did you know that God laughs? And he says in the book of Proverbs, in the coming day, those to whom he spoke, those whom he pleaded with to turn to righteousness, and they did not, it says, God will laugh. And so when you come with all your strong reasons and you're pleading that you didn't give me enough time, God will laugh at all the excuses that you give. And then, as lovely as a wife is, and God is the one who brought the first wife to Adam, and God is the first one who made all good things to eat, even though he did that, if you abuse it, and the Bible speaks about using and abusing, if you abuse the privileges and good things that God has given to the exclusion of ever trusting Christ as Savior, that will be no excuse. That is the sad thing. Understand that every day that that old fool Noah lived with integrity before his generation, every plant that he put into that ark, all of it was faith, was doing the will of God, and it was condemning man every day. That was not turning to righteousness, that was not living a life devoid of sin, who was not building and preparing for escape from the judgment to come. Every day, the life of Noah condemned. And I want you to understand this, that some of us poor sinners saved by the grace of God are trying to live for God, are trying to present the truth to you. I want you to understand that it is condemning you, because it said Noah, when he built that ark, when he retained his integrity, it said he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, and the whole world perished. And God was so pleased with Noah, along with two others, that he sets them forth as examples of integrity and righteousness. He says, and also you'll find the waters of Noah in Isaiah 54, and you'll find Noah mentioned twice in Ezekiel 14. He said, though Noah and Daniel and Job were in a city, they would not deliver anyone but their own selves by their righteousness. And this is the sad thing, that as much as I love you, if I wanted to die for you, I would not be able. Paul said, I could wish myself a curse for my countrymen, my kinsmen according to the flesh. But God said, there's only one who can die for sinners, and that's Christ. And Christ has died. But what Noah tried to do, he tried to get his generation saved. But at least he got his wife saved. And his son Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives, they were the ones that were saved. But he tried to get all the others saved, and they would not be saved. And this is what I found, that Noah's father lived to within 5 years as to when the flood came. And his grandfather Methuselah lived to the very year that the flood came. And inasmuch as it says that Noah's father Lamech, after he begat Noah, for hundreds of years begat sons and daughters, it means that Noah had brothers and sisters if they lived the way he did. And not one of his brothers or sisters came in the ark. And not his uncles came in the ark. And not his cousins, not his relatives, not his friends. None of them came into the ark. And he was trying to get them all in the ark because he was a preacher of righteousness. And that's what I'm doing. I've been preaching for 50 years trying to get you all in. And Noah preached 120 years. Or whether you come or not, the flood is going to come down from heaven, whatever you do. So, this day, the door of the ark is open. Come in before God shuts the door. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful that you are characterized by long suffering. Long suffering in the days of Noah. And our Father, when we honestly look at our lives and we see the sins that are there and they haven't been forgiven, and we see the levity of our lives, the vanity, the emptiness of our lives, and that we're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but we are seeking first the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, everything that pertains to self, then our God, when your judgment comes, what shall we answer thee? So, our Father, we pray that since the door is still open, some of those that with mockery have condemned Noah shall in this their generation be illumined by thy Spirit and enter into the ark of safety, that when the flood comes, they are preserved by the power of God. By thy Spirit accomplish this, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen. Nie wiedzą.